Abigail Smead arrived like a black eye, sudden, fierce, and blossoming under my skin. When I met her, I was sitting in the shade of an old oak tree, minding my own business. I'd just removed a burlap sack from a hollow in the tree's trunk and poured its contents out in the grass. Scraps of metal, twisted brackets, and a few strips of a stretchy material called rubber. Most people would have described those things as junk fit for the bin, but I knew better. Pieced together just right, that junk would become more than the sum of its parts, and figuring out which way was just right happened to be one of my favorite pastimes. But Father didn't like me tinkering with the odds and ends I gathered, and sometimes even pinched from his workshop. It wasn't proper, he said, and making something nobody had ever seen before might get a person looked at twice, which was the last thing we wanted. That's why I kept my collection stashed inside an oak tree in the middle of Fletcher's field. Nobody but Mr. Fletcher and me ever wandered into that field anymore, if you didn't count the sheep. At the bottom of the bundle, rolled up tight, was a scarf, a single piece of fabric more precious than all the rest of it put together. I unfurled it across my knees, and the silk shone and rippled like running water. It was cool to the touch, but the pattern, in shades of blue and yellow and purple, made me think of places drenched in sun. The kind of faraway places Mother liked to visit when she was flying hot air balloons. In fact, the scarf had been a souvenir from one of her trips. She'd had a weakness for beautiful, unnecessary things. She'd filled the house with them once. Peanut brittle? Startled, I crumpled the scarf and crammed it back into the sack. Then I whipped my head left and right, hunting for the owner of that voice. It wasn't until I looked up that I spotted her, sitting on a branch of the tree and kicking her legs like she was lounging on a swing. She peered down at me with shrewd, glittering brown eyes. Without prompting, she extended a half-eaten shard of candy through the leaves. It glistened with a semicircle of saliva where she'd taken the last bite. No thanks, I said. Your loss. She wedged the peanut brittle into the far reaches of her mouth and cracked off a piece. It rattled against her teeth as she spoke. What's that? She pointed down at one of my projects, something I was still trying to get just right. A small flying machine I'd made using those strips of rubber Mr. Dudley had given me. Excuse me, who are you? I asked. She looked about my age, long-limbed and gangly, with light brown skin. Her hair had been pulled into a ponytail that erupted at the back of her head in a burst of copper corkscrews. She wore several layers of clothes, an apple green vest, a striped jacket two sizes too small, and two gauzy skirts that looked like petticoats that had been dyed pink and cut short. Her scuffed boots kicked at the air over my head. Abigail Smead, at your service, she said. You can call me Abby. She smiled with a mouthful of crowded, crooked teeth, each one shoving its way to the front. She stretched her arm down to me again, this time offering her long, tapered fingers for a handshake. As though it were completely normal to meet someone while perched in a tree. I unpretzeled my legs and stood on tiptoes to give her hand a single uninspired shake. I'm Prismina, I said. What are you doing here?
Same as you, she said. Trespassing.
That response almost knocked me backward. She was correct, legally speaking, but I'd spent so much time in that field it felt like part of our own property. Mother and I used to stretch out in the long grass here to get the best view of the balloons taking off, when she wasn't flying one herself. I could still picture her that way, in profile, with bits of twig clinging to her strawberry blonde hair. She'd always gasp at the first sliver of color cresting over Fletcher's mill, as giddy as a child on Savior's Day, and we'd watch that sliver grow and grow until it filled the sky and overtook the wall, which didn't look so impressive then. Our hot air balloons made 100 feet of stacked stone look no more imposing than Mr. Fletcher's puny fence.
You didn't answer my question,
said Abby, jerking me out of my memories.
What is that thing?
I fumbled for the words to explain my amateur flying machine to this strange girl, but it didn't matter. Abby was already moving, zipping down the branches of the oak tree. In an instant, she stood beside me, holding it in her hands, which, I happened to notice, were caked in dirt.